Did you know that according to research, emotional intelligence accounts for up to 60% of performance in all types of jobs? And for every 1% increase in EQ, you could get a salary increase of up to £1,000. Welcome to The Debrief Show, the show where leaders bring out the best in themselves, their teams, and their communications. I'm your host, Dee Clayton, and I'm a multi-award-winning executive coach and trainer. I'm experienced in NLP, insights discovery, and motivational maps, and I use all of that to help people understand even more about emotional intelligence. I'm delighted today to be joined by Sally Chapman, and she's an executive coach as well, but she's founder of Shine Coaching. And before that, she was heading up HR departments and managing talent. And that means that she's seen firsthand how EQ can impact on somebody's career path for better or for worse. We're going to cover what emotional intelligence is and how to increase your EQ. Whether you're neurodivergent or neurotypical, everybody can develop their EQ. And we're going to show you the steps so that you can start doing that journey immediately. And since recording this, the book has been updated that we talk about. And it's very similar, but there's some new strategies and there's a new test. So that's even more reason why you want to tune in and listen to what Sally has to say. Thank you for joining us. Welcome, Sally. I first met you 8 years ago. You were an HR, head of HR, and you were like a client of mine, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right. A long time ago.
Ah, and now you've crossed over into the world of coaching. So when I wanted to talk to somebody about EQ or emotional intelligence, you were the first person that came to mind because you first shared that book with me that was really useful. So maybe we can go a bit into your journey, but maybe you could just sort of share a little bit about the book, maybe the definition of EQ, and then we can go from there.
Yep, of course. Hello, everyone. The book that Dee is mentioning is, I don't know, can ever you see that? It's a male type 3.0. So that's by Travis Bradbury and Jean Greaves. So I use this book quite a lot. It's a really practical book, but I use it quite a lot in my work in one-to-one situations with coaching clients or potentially with teams and organizations. So for those of you who aren't as familiar with emotional intelligence, the emotional intelligence is our ability to recognize, understand, and manage our own emotions, and also to recognize and understand and influence the emotions of others. So in this book, Bradbury and Greaves, they break EQ down into four key skills. So there's self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management. And these aren't fixed traits. They are skills that we can all learn and strengthen over time.
Yeah, and I like what I think you said that you liked most about the book is that it is all broken down, and each little bit, they give you a way of improving each of those four sections and even subdivided even more. So it's very practical, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's a really practical book, and how it breaks down those four core skills, and then each of them, they will give you an example potentially about how that might show up in somebody. So you might read that description and think, oh, that's a little bit like me, or it's a little bit like somebody I know. But then it also will give you strategies on how to improve that skill and just really basic things that you can build into your sort of like day to day.
Fantastic. So with your background in HR, I thought you were really important to talk to you because you understand about how much people get paid and people's salary. And in the book, it says that every percentage point, and they've done this research, and every percentage point increase in EQ, it's American, but you can get $1,300 more per percentage point of EQ in your salary on average. So sort of combining your knowledge in HR about knowing why people get a higher salary than some others, and with your knowledge of coaching and emotional intelligence, tell us how is that justified? How does that kind of work, so to speak?
Well, it's in leadership, EQ is what separates good leaders from great ones. And so you're probably going to pay a great leader better than you would a good leader. But it's not just about being, you know, good leaders hopefully are all smart, strategic, and all of that. But great leaders, those with high EQ, they're going to have that innate ability to lead themselves well, and that way they can lead others well. And that's something that actually is really hard to kind of write down, pinpoint on paper. I think it's more of a sense, a felt sense that you are being led well by somebody. But it's also, as a leader, it's about being aware of your emotions, so understanding that impact on how you show up, and then being able to manage them rather than be managed them. And then tuning into the emotions of others, so that other people in your organization, in your teams, you want to be able to read that room. You want to notice what not's being said and create that space where people are going to feel seen and heard and safe. And that's what I feel like a great EQ leader will be able to do. They'll stay calm in a crisis. They'll give feedback that motivates, not demotivates. They're going to spot when somebody's struggling. They're going to adapt their style so that others can shine. So it's not about being soft. It's about being really smart with feelings. Mm. And about following somebody that you trust, because we don't just follow, you know, good leaders. We can follow the skills or the strategies, but people will follow people that they trust. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think it's a really core leadership skill, and that will demand that high value.
So we talk about trust a lot when we're talking about high performing teams and the Lencioni pyramid, and then trust is right at the bottom of that. So we use insights discovery quite a lot to get to, you know, the building blocks of trust. But this EQ is another way of doing the same thing, of adding to that level of trust. And then that's going to make you get the best out of your people, get more out of your team. So it's going to be well worth the investment in the extra money. But it's interesting that it actually turns out into a sort of data point that can be measured. So I really like that. Thank you. But anyway, we jumped straight into it. So let's rewind a little bit, learn a little bit more about you. So how did your coaching journey begin?
It actually started with you, Dee, but as you mentioned at the beginning, I was working in HR, very passionate about what I did. I wanted to make a difference. That kind of where I sort of fell into HR and did that. And I absolutely loved what I did. I sort of probably threw myself in a bit too much, worked my way up that career ladder quite quickly. I love being able to influence that positive change. That was a real motivator for me. So one of the most memorable times and how coaching came about was when you and another coach came into the organization I was working at the time. And you worked with me and the exec team on introducing sort of like a coaching culture, a coaching approach into the organization. And also it helped with our own working relationships and those dynamics of working as a newly formed exec team, how we all work together. But also you work with me one-to-one, and that's when I started to learn so much more about myself. At the time, I didn't really link it, I suppose, to EQ, but it was more around myself, my values, my drivers, my beliefs, and kind of like what was holding me back. And that was the start of me falling in love with coaching, really.
Fantastic. So that was yourself, one of the pillars you were just talking about, isn't that the self-awareness, growing your self-awareness and understanding yourself. And I think sometimes in HR, it can be very easy to be thinking about other people and how they're getting on and what's going on for them, and maybe not so much time for yourself, your self-reflections, would you say?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, and having coached many HR professionals since leaving the profession, I know that still take place. But I mean, so for me, you know, I did a bit of NLP training, foundational NLP training with you while I was still in that organization, and then moved to another one. But I was still very much had coaching in the back of my mind. But it was the pandemic that gave me that opportunity that to kind of take that leap of faith. So I'd been working really hard. Was part of an organization, just a small organization with about 45 individuals. We were linked with the NHS, so we considered it was in just when the pandemic hit. And so we were linked as key workers. So we were still very much working, transitioning everyone to working at home. We had a new CEO join us. And I was the only person with HR. That was my responsibility. So I was just spent my whole time looking after others. And I realized that I kind of had stopped looking after myself. So I wasn't leading myself particularly well, if you like. And that was when I sort of like decided it was time for me to invest in myself. And that's when I left the HR profession and trained as an exec and leadership coach.
Good for you in taking that brave move. But there's other HR professionals I know have done that as well. So there must be like a theme of of, yeah, wanting to move across into making a difference in a different way. So well done on you. And I know you've been very successful in doing that. So fantastic. So what made you specifically want to bring emotional intelligence into coaching? I mean, obviously it's part of coaching, but why did you really think, well, that's a really impactful tool? Because there's so many tools we can use, and that's one of yours, isn't it? So why did you choose that tool?
Well, I suppose I think it is, like you say, at the heart of coaching, but it's been really powerful to me in building my EQ skills and making, I know what a difference it made to in terms of how I lead myself and how I show up. So, you know, that sort of, when you're working with clients, it's about listening deeply. You're not listening just to what someone's saying, but what's underneath them. I've got to be aware of my own reactions, my own assumptions. I've got to stay fully present. This is all EQ skills. I've got to create that space for clients. And I've got to show up and model that emotional literacy. You know, there's sort of, I suppose, you know, if I'm working in a one-to-one, I can say to a client, oh, I'm sensing some frustration in myself while you're sharing with me. Is that something that you're feeling, or is it something you're feeling? What are you feeling? And so we can start talking about that emotional literacy, what the impact it's having on them, and build that awareness. So I think the demands on leaders have changed today. You know, when clients come to me, they come because they want to make some sort of positive change, and they might not know what that change is at first. But they show up either in overwhelm, or they might be lacking in confidence, or they might be wanting to make more impact and influence. And all of these things can be helped by building a person's EQ skills and abilities.
And I've seen you do that, because we've worked together with a client. Wow. And I really enjoyed that. Thank you. And what I definitely noticed you doing that, tuning into your emotions and saying, like, I noticed that, or I'm feeling that. And just to take that pause, you're not sort of on the topic, you know, you're talking about a topic, for example, but then you go sideways or up, I don't know where, you know, and you look down on how you're being in that moment, on how you're feeling, and you label it and you call it out. And that can then take you down another path that's really rich and interesting. So that was nice to see you in action doing that, and as you say, modeling it for the client as well, so that they can, you know, they can do that in their meetings as well, can't they?
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're quite privileged in that role of coach or mentor, or however you want, wherever you're working with the client, because you have that time to step back and observe. And so you can, you know, clients will think that's just the way I am. And if it's worked for them up to this point, or they haven't had any feedback to the contrary, they're just going to keep doing it. But if you can start to share patterns with them, and then they can start to recognize when those patterns are, and what their emotional reactions and potentially habits or communication style that is within those patterns, they can realize how much they can shift, because it's that moment when they see that they've got some choice or control over how they show up. And that's where, like you say, the power of EQ in action, it's really incredibly empowering. It's often the spark that fuels that real lasting change.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. So the book Emotional Intelligence, for those that haven't read it, is there a key takeaway from that, or what do you like best about it? We talked about it being really practical and really useful. Is there other key takeaways to share?
I suppose what the central message is that it is, emotional intelligence is a skill. It's not a fixed trait. So it's the simple idea that we can build EQ through awareness and intentional effort shows up all the time in my coaching. So I think that's kind of like what I like best of it about it. And it's that realization that we've got choice and control how we show up and lead ourselves. The practical bit is just, I think it's in really bite-sized chunks. So some of these books that are quite theory-based tend to be a bit hard to digest, but this is really, really practical. And like I say, for each section, you're going to get some strategies that you can try, just as simple as keeping an emotional journal to increase your self-awareness, or pausing to ask yourself, what outcome do I want from this conversation, just to help maybe self-management. So those are things that really practically, that you don't have to go out and buy, you don't have to necessarily work with a coach, or that does help, but you know, they're real practical tools that you can use and gradually start to show up differently almost immediately.
And one of the reasons why you might want to use a coach is because it takes some emotional intelligence to, I know there's a questionnaire in the book, and it does take some emotional intelligence in order to take the questionnaire, what I would say, accurately, because you need to be able to look at yourself, and you almost need the self-awareness in order to judge your level of self-awareness, if that makes sense. So the coach or a good leader or a good friend, somebody who knows you well, could be, would you say that they could be used as somebody to help you with the questionnaire if you're going to measure yourself? Because otherwise you just say, oh yes, I'm brilliant, I don't need any help, I'm fantastic. How does it work? You need EQ to measure your EQ.
Yeah, I think you do. But as you say, you could work with a, it takes some vulnerability to be able to admit that you're not the finished article. And also, you know, these are EQ. It's, a lot of this has been built by our beliefs, our values, our experiences that have led us up to this point. So it's really hard to like really question what's coming up for you and how and why. So I think one of the things I would say, if you are going to take, there's a brilliant self-assessment in there that then comes up with some great funny little videos that you can then spot, you know, emotional intelligence or lack of emotional intelligence, should I say, in others. But I would suggest that if you are going to take it on your own, when you're, it basically asks you to assess yourself against a number of statements. If you're going to do that, for each one of those, come up with an example. If you're going to say that, yes, that's really very like me, or you know, most of the time, or however the, I can't remember the exact scoring, but if you're going to take that, make sure that you come up with a really objective example why you are scoring yourself that way. Otherwise, ask somebody else to just talk you through it, somebody that you trust.
Yeah. So if it says like I'm good at managing conflict, and I'll say, oh yes, I think I'm quite good at that. And then I think, well, what's an example? And I'm a bit stuck for that. I can ask somebody else, is there an example of when I've been good at managing conflict, or how do you think I'm managing conflict? And they might say, well, there was that chance when you ran away from it, actually. That isn't good at managing conflict. That's kind of running away, which is a different thing, isn't it? Or avoidance. So, yes, that's a good idea to have examples or to have somebody help you through that. Great. Thank you for that. So are there any parts of EQ that people find the hardest? We've talked a little bit about self-awareness. Is there anything else that people find hard about EQ, or is it all equally easy, not easy?
Well, I think to me, I think it's that self. I do think it's the self-awareness. I think it starts with the self-awareness piece. So we rarely, as you know, as individuals, we rarely take time to really, truly reflect. And I mean, like, sort of like practice positive reflection. So not just that, you know, the overthinking about what went wrong, but really think, actually, what are the tangible things I can do differently? And why did that go wrong? Why did I slip up there? What can I do differently? What can I learn from this? And, you know, it wouldn't take, I think, once we get that self-awareness piece and we start slowing down, then we can then, if you don't have that, it's really hard to develop those other three key sort of elements of EQ. So, but it's about being vulnerable enough to admit that you're not going to get it right all the time. And I think the way that our world is now, in terms of that fast pace, it really impacts how we can put this into practice, because we put huge demands on leaders and people in our teams. And it's at these critical times that even the best leaders trip up, because they're under pressure and they need to make tough decisions. And so I think that's kind of like, yeah, I think that's why it doesn't necessarily, it's not looked at as a skill that is, I'm going to invest in that. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of other things. But also I think empathy as well is a little bit misunderstood sometimes, because it's not about being nice. I remember, you know, working with a client, and actually they picked up a lot of these EQ skills, but then had stepped back and thought, oh, you know, I'm not going to step in now. And it was, you know, I'm not going to take control. I'm not going to do so. It's not about being nice, but it's not about fixing problems. It's not about feeling sorry for somebody. It's about understanding how somebody else feels, letting them know they've been heard. It doesn't mean to say you have to lead with lower your standards. So it means kind of like leading with humanity. So if something is going wrong, you can step in with that emotional maturity, sit with that discomfort, challenge others, but do it in a way that others understand. And so, but also how you understand how the other person feels.
Yeah, not bringing your own triggers with you, isn't it? So I was just making a few notes as you were talking there. It makes me think that even if you don't know what to do in the moment, having that self-awareness means that you recognize you're in the moment where you need to do something. So whereas before you might not have seen it or you might have run away from it, you're now in it and you're like, oh, this is one of those times I need to do something. And you can just sort of pause and then think, okay, what do I need to do? How are others feeling? You might even, as you say, talk about it in the room, which is, you know, I don't think this was ever really role modeled for me in many of the places where I worked or anywhere in life, really, where you would sort of then say, okay, so what's going on at the moment? Everyone seems a little bit stressed, or I think there's quite a lot of disagreement, but it's sort of about labeling it as well. I'm not sure what the skill there is under the book title, but that kind of ability to identify what's going on in the room is important, isn't it? Even in itself, just labeling it is useful.
I think it's, I would say if it, we're going to sort of kind of call it out, one, it's kind of reading the temperature of the room, the emotional temperature of the room potentially, and actually saying, I can sense your frustration. I feel it too. And being able to, you know, have that vulnerability to share what you're feeling, but also invite others to share how they're feeling. So yeah, I think it's that emotional temperature of the room. And then actually we've still got to make some tough decisions, or I've still got to make a decision. I'm, you know, I know where we're at, but this is where we're going to do, you know, and to be able to bring people with you, I suppose, at that time.
And when I've done some team training, we haven't necessarily resolved the emotion in the room, but almost by going around and saying it and allowing it space to be in the room has not necessarily resolved it, but it's certainly avoided that distraction. So it's enabled everybody to get on with it once they get over that, whereas they would have been distracted otherwise. So yes, yeah, so I think that's really useful. So when you use EQ, have you seen some, obviously you have, but what light bulb moments have you seen in, let's say, a fictitious client called Mark? What might we see in Mark if he has, you know, had a real shift in his EQ or mindset around that?
Well, yeah. So if I, yeah, work with a leader who had Mark potentially fantastic technical skills, but struggled with that emotional self-control and lacking in self-awareness. And that lacking in self-awareness, when first started working with them, they weren't aware of it. But what they shared was, and what was observed was, in high stress moments, they might come across as being a bit abrupt or a bit dismissive, might talk over people, interrupt. But over time, when we started working and building on their self-awareness, and we'd spot those, like track those patterns and spot some of those early signs of frustration, and then start digging a little bit deeper, but practicing that self-management. So there you've got your self-awareness bit of the EQ, then the self-management. So like pausing, reframing, asking questions, listening more than speaking. The change was really noticeable. So not only did the team relationships improve because feedback was sought, and somebody, you know, said how different it was. It was, the difference was extreme, but they all, in a positive way, but they also felt, the client felt that Mark felt the difference in themselves. I could see it too in how he showed up for our sessions. Mm-hmm. They became kind of, I suppose, more approachable, and they listened more. And as a result, we had much more effective sessions.
Fantastic. And that would make huge difference to the team, and not just their progress, but also the team. So fantastic. That's really nice to hear. And so let's talk about, as we kind of come to the end of our very short chat, I'm sure there's loads more to talk about, but let's talk about how we can help listeners move into doing something about this themselves. So let's say they're new to this and they haven't done anything. Maybe they're on the journey. Maybe they're looking for the next step in their personal development journey or in their EQ journey. What kind of tips, suggestions, actions would you suggest that they take?
Okay, so if I would start with that self-awareness piece, and so start building in some simple reflection moments, and it only need take, 5 minutes at the end of the day. You could ask yourself, what emotions did I notice in myself today? There's a brilliant emotions wheel that you could, I think it's called the feelings wheel, which you can get online, which has got all of the, well, not all of the emotions, but it's got many more than the sort of like standard six or seven that we tend to sort of like angry, sad, happy, it just builds them. So if to increase your emotional literacy, I would explore the emotions wheel, but ask yourself a couple of questions. What emotions did I notice in myself today? What impact did they have on others? Because I know that sometimes, when I feel frustrated, there's going to be an impact on somebody. And what emotions might have been driving somebody else's behavior? So start trying to observe somebody else and see, and start being super aware of their sort of emotional landscape. So that's one thing you could look at doing. I think another thing which is really, really powerful is seek feedback from people that you trust. So a couple of people you trust, say to them that you are wanting to work on your emotional intelligence, and actually can they give you some helpful things about what you potentially do well within that? Maybe it is in communication or something, for an example, and what they could see you doing better. So then you can start to build on that.
Yeah, and lots of organisations have a formal type of feedback as well, don't they? The 360. I say this because one's literally just landed in my inbox today. It must be the season for 360s at the moment because I've been talking to a lot of clients about them. But one's been landing in my inbox to fill in for a client as well. But that's a more formal way of doing it. But you can do it informally as well. I know when we worked together, you suggested with one of the people to do that informal feedback, wasn't it, to go and ask people for feedback, but in a certain way, I suppose. You can't just go, could you tell me how brilliant I've been this week, Sally, please?
I think the value is in how you ask the question, and actually, it is approaching everything with curiosity. I think curiosity is a wonderful way to approach something, with a sort of like a wanting to learn. So how can I be more curious about this, and what can I learn? I think there's a couple of things that if you're a leader or a manager of a team, a couple of things that you might be able to do. So potentially you could, if you notice that your team is potentially flagging or something, why not sort of like shift that to having some sort of, shift where you're meeting, shift the time. Maybe you might do a sort of like walking meeting or something like that. Or you could maybe run sort of like emotional check-ins and ask people like in your team, how are you feeling, and get them sort of like, I've done check-ins like the weather before, I'm feeling a little bit cloudy or a bit of a thunderstorm. And so if people aren't used to using that emotional language, they could use that. But again, you could start saying, if you were to use an emotion on how you were checking in, how would you feel? And then ask them, what was contributing to that? So I think that, and model that vulnerability yourself by sharing yourself. Actually, I'm checking in overwhelmed, or I recognize that I'm checking in overwhelmed, and the reason, and then what I'll do about it. Mm. I'll ask for help, or I'll take some time out, or whatever that might be, so that people have something tangible and actionable to do once they've recognized what emotion they're feeling.
Yeah, and I think the key to all of this is to sort of get yourself to a level first, because you need that level of emotional intelligence, don't you, to be able to manage it in the team. So as always, start with yourself. I was talking to Will on the episode 12 about personal development, and I did three fingers back. You know I love that, don't you, Sally? Where I go, well, you need to share your emotions with me, Sally. You need to tell me why you're feeling. And, if I haven't kind of looked at myself and shown vulnerability, as you say, then that is a... that is a problem, because I can make things worse. So we need to be able to have a certain level in ourselves in terms of emotional intelligence before we start trying to influence and change each other's people levels, I would say. So I know that's important too. Any other tips before we go? You've given us loads already, so that's fantastic. Any other tips or pieces or questions I should have asked you but I haven't done?
No, I don't. I just think, to me, in terms of leadership, it isn't all about having, you know, leaders are often expected to have all the answers, but I don't think it is. Leadership isn't about having all the answers. It's about having that kind of that emotional capacity to be able to ask the right questions, connect with people. So using all of those EQ skills and lead with kind of like courage and care.
Thank you, Sally. And that's your debrief for today. If you want to know more about Sally, then you can follow her or me on LinkedIn. And you can check out our show notes where there's more information. And you can sign up to our newsletter there so you don't miss out on any of the upcoming shows. If you'd like to watch other episodes of The Debrief Show, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And if you prefer to watch, then we're on YouTube. Look out for the playlist called The Debrief Show, and that's in my channel, DK King. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do share it with a team member or a colleague. It might be the nudge they need to start their emotional intelligence journey. And next time, I'm really excited to be joined by Debbie Gilbert. She's a multi-award-winning marketing expert and helps people to raise their profile. And that's brilliant if you're navigating the next stage of the career. If you think that personal branding isn't something you need to pay attention to, then personal branding is something you need to pay attention to. I look forward to seeing you next time.